You are listening to the Trinity Presbyterian Church podcast from Petaluma, California. Here is this week's Adult Sunday School class.
Let's open in prayer. Great God of heaven and earth, we thank you for drawing near to us in Christ Jesus, revealing yourself to us not only outwardly, but to our souls to bring us to faith. We trust in you. We rejoice in you. And know, Lord, that the world needs you, and we desire to share our gospel hope to the world. For Lord, we know there are souls all around us that are lost and dead in their sin and trespasses. And so, Lord, we pray that we would be faithful to bear witness to Christ to our community. Lord, as we continue to think about evangelism, we pray that we would have that heart and that we would be well-prepared and well-equipped for that work. In Jesus' name, amen. So, question for you. Who has their little track from last week with them? Okay, good. Good job, Diego, at handing them out. How did it go? Okay. I'm asking for the benefit of others to hear that. See, this is a... You know, it might be a little scary, but and sometimes people might be mean to you, but usually they're pretty nice. I'm guessing they were fairly nice in general, right? Awesome. Well, yeah, we will make as many as you'll pass out. So, and that's the case for everybody, right? So praise the Lord for that. And you know, just a reminder: last week I said just pick up your bulletin if you need a track, right? And I have not looked at it until just 2 seconds ago to ask this question: will these verses work for a gospel presentation? But let's look at 2 Timothy 2:11 through 13. This is a faithful saying: for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Amen. And, you know, immediately when I read that, I hear, you know, the idea of the death and resurrection of Jesus right there at the beginning, dying with him and living with him, right? And the idea, well, what does that mean to die with him and to live with him? And so, you know, this gives an opportunity to talk about why did Jesus have to die? He died in our place. And he didn't just die in our place. He rose again in our place as well, right? We die with him. We rise with him. But then, you know, this idea of if we endure, right, that talks about faith. The Bible calls us, we need to turn and believe in Jesus, put our faith in him and trust in him. And if we don't, there is a coming judgment. And so we're either going to have, you know, an eternity of blessedness and eternal life, or we're going to have the opposite, a coming judgment and a punishment. And so that has that call to action. And then, you know, Romans 8:1, I mentioned, so using the confession of faith and the assurance of God pardon each week, you know, Romans 8:1, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So, of course, if you're in Christ Jesus, God does not condemn us for the sin that we've committed. Why? That's a great jumping off point for talking about the gospel. So, just a little reminder, you've got a bulletin as you got a ready-made conversation starter. So, going back to our little Romans road tracks, one of the things we talked about last week is, you know, when doing a track, right, or when giving a gospel presentation, which is what we're really talking about, you're probably going to have something to try to get the conversation started. You know, it may be a sort of, we might call a diagnostic-type question, something that gets them to think, you know, about themselves. You know, what do you think happens when you die? Or you've heard about Jesus dying on the cross. Why do you think Jesus died on the cross? You know, depending on the conversation, depending on the person, you're having some way to get the conversation started. And then you have to give the message, right? The message, when we talk about the gospel, it has both bad news and good news. The gospel means good news, but you can't talk about the good news unless you talk about the bad news, right? And then ultimately there's a call to action. You know, you're calling them to respond. You're calling them to repent and believe, to turn from their old way of living to turn from their old life, to turn to Christ, admit they are a sinner, and look in faith to Christ for forgiveness. And of course, all of those things that I just said in summary are just the beginning of sort of fleshing out what that looks like, right? But you're only going to be able to say so much at any one point in a conversation. So you have to kind of get a sense on where people are at, and you start with the basics, and you kind of, you know, add meat to the bones as you have that conversation or conversations. And so just a reminder, we got these little tracks here, right? And these are, what do we call these four verses from Romans? Romans Road. This is just one simple way to take people through the gospel. And I mentioned it last week, and my plan is for us in a moment to break up in groups and practice giving the gospel with these tracts. And so let me just sort of refresh us from last week, you know, and I went through it in more in depth last week, but I'm just going to walk us through right now. So the first one there is Romans 3:23. We have all sinned. Is that the good news or the bad news? It's bad news, right? Everyone is a sinner, and so helping the person understand that they are a sinner. And you might have to define what sin is, right? Some people you talk to, they're going to get the idea, and they've heard it. Other people might have no idea, and you might have to define what sin is, and you know, be creative depending on the person on how to help explain that to them. Romans 6:23, sin means death. It says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So there's the idea. Sin has consequences. We are under God's judgment because of our sin. And that's true for everyone because, first point, everyone's a sinner. Left to ourselves, we all deserve death and damnation. And so you have to talk. Is that good news or bad news? Still part of the bad news, right? Yeah. There is that transition, though, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. By the way, before I go farther on that one, notice the word wages there. Wages. What's a wage? That's right. Yeah. You don't work, you know, all day at McDonald's flipping burgers, actually probably sticking in burgers in the microwave and hitting on, you know. And then they give you your paycheck and there's your $8 and you don't say, that was so nice of you to give me that, right? You say, no, I earned that $8, you know. Actually, no, I think now they've raised it to $20 an hour in California. Anyway, sorry, getting this off track here. After taxes, it's $8. a wage is something you've earned. But the contrast is the free gift of God is eternal life. So when we're talking about our salvation, it's the opposite of something we earned. It's something given to us. And that gives the opportunity to begin to talk about grace. So this point becomes a transition from bad news to good news, and to go from works brought us death and damnation, grace is holding out eternal life in Christ as a gift. And so then Romans 5:8, Christ died in our place, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And now you begin to talk about why Jesus had to die, dying in our place. And again, you can use bigger words if the people that you're talking to have some background with Christianity, you know, and if they don't, then you use, you know, simpler terms, right? Like a bigger term, you know, if someone comes from a Christian background, you may have heard of substitutionary atonement before, never really thought about what it really meant. I mean, here's what it means: Christ dying in our place. And then Romans 10:9, believe and be saved, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so that's the sort of call to action idea, right? You're calling them to respond to the gospel message. And, you know, Scripture never lets us just let the word go in one ear and out the other. I mean, if you do, then you're it doesn't do you any good to have heard that, right? We're called to not just be a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. We're called to respond. And so that little summary there at the end, Jesus calls all to repent and believe, be baptized in his name, and become a disciple in his church. If you do, you'll be saved from the coming judgment. You'll have the hope of eternal life and the coming glory. Even now, God will be with you by his Holy Spirit and will begin to transform your heart and life. And so, again, this is just a little brief little summary of how to begin to have these conversations. And so I want us to have a little practice time now. And you're going to, like, suddenly stumble in words. And that's sort of the whole point. Part of the point of this is to, you know, begin to do it in this sort of safe environment. Now, so what you're going to do is you're going to break up into groups of two. Okay? Now, if you are really, 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 really uncomfortable and do not want to do this, then you can be a third person in a group of two and just observe. I hope not many take me up on that offer. Remember, if you're going to do it once, share the gospel, and then you're going to switch. Okay. Succinctness is still distracted for a second. Succinctness is something to be working on. And good job, Diego, at being a good example of being succinct. Pastors sometimes need to work on being succinct, too. We can be long-winded. I think that's helpful to think about the different sort of audience, right? Like, one of the things I saw Diego doing was, using this as an invitation, you know, talking about the gospel, flipped it over, showed our information, right? And that's when you need to be succinct, right? You've got the elevator scenario or the guy you ran into on the street corner and that. And then other times we're going to have the people we've known for a long time that this is not one conversation. It's many conversations. And each conversation you might delve into different aspects of what the Christian faith is about. And so thinking about that. What is helpful about our little tracks is so you get some of the basics, right? As we keep going into more of it, we're gonna talk a little bit about some of the different topics under apologetics, which is might be where you get into some of those more extended conversations with people over the years. You know, it might be over the years that you're having conversations with some folks and maybe answering some of those questions that they raise. So talking about, you know, using providential opportunities, like if they're celebrating Christmas and talking about, you know, people are singing, maybe they're playing "O Come All You Faithful" and singing along, and yet they've never been to church, you know. Well, do you know what that song's about? So taking advantage of those kind of providential opportunities where people are maybe thinking about religious things without even realizing it. Strangers on the street, on the first hand, seems scarier, right? But if you think about a stranger on the street, you have one conversation with them and you probably will never see them again. And if you insult them greatly, you'll probably never see them again. It's actually, if you think about it, maybe more scary to have a conversation with a non-Christian who you have an extended relationship with, in the sense that your relationship could have, you know, consequences based on how that conversation goes. You know, if you talk to your neighbor next door and before you had a really good relationship, and then he's suddenly offended because he says, "You think I'm going to hell for how I'm living," right? Those are some things to be aware of, right? You may have some impact in those relationships, and being aware of it helps you to, you know, hopefully begin to deal with it emotionally. And, you know, think about the fact that I gave you like 5 or 10 minutes to do this. So it's kind of like almost a not fair sort of scenario, because it's like, hey, you got 5 minutes to share the gospel. And again, I'm going to use, Diego as an example. He had the real good 5 minute, you know, here's how in my limited time with this person that I may never see again, here's an opportunity to succinctly get this information in front of them. But, you know, there's going to be plenty of opportunities, Tyler, where Tyler's approach of having a little bit more trying to understand the person, in terms of actually someone you know, that's a really good thing to do, right? Because the last thing you want to do is, before you know somebody really well, to just suddenly, you know, just start telling them everything they need to know, right? So I think If it's particularly a relationship that you have with somebody, spending some time asking questions and getting to know them is going to be very helpful. You took the time to listen to them and to respond thoughtfully, right? I think that's helpful. Were there any tough questions that someone didn't know how to answer? Like, Tong asked me this and I didn't know what to say, or... You guys all had cooperative partners. No one asked you a tough question. Either side, sure. I particularly had in mind, you were sharing the gospel and they asked some sort of, they raised some objection, asked you a question about Christianity you didn't know how to answer, and you sort of were like, oh, I don't know what to say. Nobody had those this time? Yeah, I think you will certainly have those as you go along, right? And so that could have been something that came out today. And I mentioned it, I think, the time before. If you're having that conversation, you know, just make a note of that question and come back to church and ask your pastor or elders or other church folks, you know, how do you respond to a question like that? Because I'm sure you'll get it again in the future. There were a number of different approaches in how conversations went. And I didn't see a bad approach. You know, and depending on the person and the, like, is this someone you know or not? Is this a street evangelism, or is this, you know, your next door neighbor who you've, you know, you'll use different approaches. But part of what I want to do through all of this is make you not feel scared and intimidated about doing it, right? The more you get, like, any of these sort of scenarios worked for getting it across, and you stumble and stutter and have to repeat yourself a few times, even if you weren't succinct, Kim, right? Like, but you got the message across, right? And so that's my encouragement. Let's keep practicing this. We're going to keep going on our evangelism series and keep talking into various some related topics and eventually get into some apologetics as well. So keep coming back, and we'll have more opportunities to practice along the way as well. So let's go ahead and close in prayer for today. Father, thank you for this opportunity to be practicing a little bit about sharing our faith, and we pray that we would have gleaned something from even the practice, and Lord, encourage us to be people who do go and have these conversations, invite people to church, and Lord, we pray that you'd work through them. We love you, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.